So we're a week before Yom Kippur, but I figured I'll talk about not what we typically talk about as far as tshuva, vida, and that stuff, but I wanted to present three case studies and that are all no geh halacha l'maisa for this week. Case study number one, you're in Gourmet Glad parking lot, and there's a tight spot available, believe it or not, and there are no shopping carts in it either, so it's a double nace. So you think you could fit your SUV into it without scratching the Porsche on the right and the Mercedes on the left, and you are squeezing yourself in and you hear that terrible sound. You hear that scratch right along the side of the Mercedes. Okay, it happens to be that you have a body shop and you know exactly how much this scratch will be. The scratch should cost about $780. Okay? So instead of taking out $780, instead of embarrassing yourself, because it could be the guy that you scratched, might be someone on your block, someone in your shul, you have a better idea. You open up your wallet, you take 10 $100 bills, and you stick it, I don't know, the window's open, you drop it into the window. Enough to pay for the damage that you caused. Does that work? Or must you ask Mechila personally? That's case study number one. Case study number two, you're riding a bike, and as you're riding a bike, you're rounding a corner, and somebody else is walking around the corner the other way, and your bike hits them hard, knocks them to the ground, and they break their leg, and it costs, doctor bills, $5,000. Okay, so you will gladly bear responsibility and pay them, write them a check for $5,000 for their doctor bills and their boshes and their nezek and pagam and whatever the five, and tsar and ripui. You'll pay all the payments. My question is, do you also have to ask for mechila? That's case number two. Case number three. You're playing baseball in the backyard, and you hit a home run, and it's such a good home run that it goes straight through your next door neighbor's kitchen window. Okay, now you definitely don't want to tell your next door neighbor that it's you, because you've been on good terms for the past 20 years. So again, you know how much a window costs, because this just happened to you last week, and it's going to cost $150, $200. Could you simply stick a letter in their mail slot that afternoon, you know, an anonymous admirer who wanted to send a baseball into your kitchen sink, here's $200 to fix your kitchen sink. Is that sufficient to pay, or are you required to ask mechila? What I just presented to you are three questions. They're all the same question, but they're three different categories. I presented the question of, do you have to ask mechila, or is it sufficient to pay, in a case of mazik, with the car, scratching the other car. In the case of Gezel, oh, we didn't talk about Gezel, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. I got mixed up. The case of Mazik was the car, and also the case of the kitchen window, that was the same question. The other question was the Chovel, when you damage somebody's body. That's the second question. Now I have to create a third case, okay? You were low on cash, and you were in the Gourmet Glad, and you felt that something was not priced the way you think it should be priced, and you happened to be long cash that week, so you slipped it into your jacket, and comes Erev Yom Kippur, you realize that it wasn't the right thing to do. So do you have to actually embarrass yourself and tell the manager or Mr. Gourmet that you stole whatever you stole, or is it sufficient to just compensate, return the item, or compensate the item that you stole? So again, three questions, all the same question. By chovel, by damaging a person, by mazik, by damaging somebody's property, and thirdly, by stealing. Do you have to ask mechila in those three scenarios, or is it sufficient to just compensate the loss that you caused? That's the question. I'd like to just ask this question, go through a number of sources, and give one answer to what we'll find might be a stira in the Rambam. So the Rambam in the halachas, nothing to do with Yom Kippur, although we're going to come back to Yom Kippur shortly. The Rambam in the halachas of Chovel and Mazik, when he's talking about damaging people and having to pay and the liabilities thereby, says the following. The Rambam says that there's a difference. Eino domem mazik chaveru begufo lemazik mamono. There's a difference whether I damage your body or if I damage your wealth. What's the difference? If you damage somebody's wealth, like their car or their window, Kevan Sheshili Mashu Chayev L'Shalim Niskaper Lo. Interesting. Raman Hilchas Chovel Mazik, not Hilchas Tshuva, not Hilchas Yom Kippur. We're talking about Kapara. Right? Kapara. Okay. So as long as you paid for that scratch on the Mercedes, as long as you paid for that window that you broke, you don't have to say who you are, you don't have to ask Mechila, you don't have to face the person, just drop the money in the car window, drop the money in the mail slot, and you got Kapara. Tircha? I don't want to get into Tircha, that's a different question. Yeah, you gave a little extra just to cover, yeah. Aval, says the Rambam, Chovel Bechaveiro, if you injured a person bodily, a bodily injury, even though you paid the five payments, which are Tzar Nezek, Tzar Sheves, Ripui Sheves, Boshes, if I might have forgotten one, and Ein Miskapelo, even if you brought all the korbanos in the world, you didn't get Mechila Achi Evakesh from the person who you injured, V'yimcholo. So if I hurt somebody, I rode my bike into somebody, I broke his leg, so it's not enough to pay all the payments, Tzar and Sheves and Ripui, but all those I paid, I have to actually face him face to face and ask Mechila afterwards. Even if you paid everything, it's not sufficient. So the Rambam is telling us that there is a split between these cases. The case of the bicycle accident where I hurt a person, I have to, besides paying the compensation, I also have to ask Mechila. If I just damage the car or a window, I don't have to ask Mechila. I need only compensate the financial loss. That's the Rambam in Hilchas Chovel HaMatzik. And of course, the Rambam continues and says that a nice Jewish boy should, of course, be willing to be mochel easily. Shouldn't hold back mechila. Fine. Where does the Rambam get this distinction between chovel on one hand, bodily injury on one hand, and mazik on the other hand? That's from a Mishnah. Mishnah Bava Kama says that regarding chovel, hurting somebody's body, regarding injuring somebody, the Mishnah says, even if you pay somebody for the injury that you caused, ein nimchal lo ad shivakesh mimenu. Where do we learn it from? We learn it from Avram Avinu and Melech Gror. Right? Paro or Melech Gror? Who took Paro? Who took Sarai? Paro took Sarai, and Hashem says, return her, and what? And he'll daven for you. It sounds there from that puzzle, the Mishnah learns that you have to not only return her, but also you have to ask Mechila. Okay, that's what we. That's the source of the difference between being chovel and somebody as opposed to damaging. If you just cause a damage, then you only have to pay. I just want to pause for a second. Learning this, I forgot to mention, learning right now is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Abba Shmuel Novak, in memory of her and mother, Pesel Bas Mash Yisuk. I'm sorry. Okay. The problem is that when we turn to Hilchas Tshuva, which is what we're learning now in the Rambam, Hilchas Tshuva, Hilchas Yom Kippurim, the Rambam says the famous line that we're all familiar with, that Tshuva and Yom Kippur work wonderfully for all the mitzvahs bin Adam la Makom. Like if you ate something not kosher, or some other Aveir bin Adam la Makom, Aval Aveiro should bin Adam la Chaveiro. There, you have to ask mechila, you have to appease your fellow, you have to be meratzes chaveiro. For example, kagon. These are the averos for which you have to ask mechila. Kagon, hachovel es chaveiro. Chovel, okay, that fits what we said earlier. If you chovel, you have to ask mechila. Or if you curse him. Or if you steal from him. Interesting. Stealing is damaging what? You're damaging a body, you're damaging wealth. Stealing is just damaging his wealth. Says the Rambam, you have to apologize to him, you have to be meratzim, you have to appease him. Afal pisha hichzilo mamot shuchayev lo, even though you returned the money that you either, that whatever you did, whatever you're responsible to return, nevertheless, you still have to ask mechila, and that's the only way you could get kapara for Yom HaKippurim. That's what the Rambam says. So it seems that we have a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam that we said earlier said that only when you injure somebody's body, then you have to ask mechila. But if you injure somebody's wealth, the car, the window, then you don't have to ask mechila. Here the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, is telling us that any Avera bin Adon La Chaveiro, including, and he specifies, Geza, which is clearly not a bodily injury, it's not even an emotional injury, it's not like Mekalo Chaveiro, which is an emotional injury, which also you have to ask mechila for, but it's clearly a financial injury, I'm stealing something from you, the Rambam says you have to ask mechila. So we have a stira in the Rambam. This is the question that the Kesef Midalecha Mishnah raises. How come the Rambam is contradicting himself when it comes to damaging financial property or stealing, which is the same thing? How come the Rambam in one place says you have to ask Mechila and the Rambam in the other place says you don't have to ask Mechila? That's the question that I wanted to raise for tonight. So far we answered, we'll come out to with the three cases in a moment. It happens to be that Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, again, that's reading material for this week, when he talks about doing tshuva, and he talks about of course, we know there's the three basic forms of the three basic steps of doing tshuva, but he has an expanded version. If you want to do a tshuva shlema, there are 20 steps. That's for a tshuva shlema, that's for a really, really incredible tshuva. So among the 20 steps that he mentions is fixing what you did wrong. So for example, he says, if you hurt somebody, if you did something b'nodah l'chavero, like stealing or pressuring somebody to sell something or being dishonest, lo yiskaper avono, until you return that which you stole. Period. What do I see from that which he doesn't say? All he says is that you have to return that which you stole. And then he adds, and so too, if you were mitzar your friend, or you were malbin panav, or you said lashon hara on him, then you have to ask mechila. So from Rabbeinu Yonah, you also see that he holds that if you steal, all you need to do is return the item. You don't have to do anything more than that. So he's clearly holding like that first halacha that we saw, that you only have to ask mechila if you do bodily harm, but not if you cause financial harm. Okay. So I want to finish off this halachic part with one answer of the Lecha Mishnah. The Lecha Mishnah says something very simple. The Lecha Mishnah says that we were grouping, in what I just described, I had three cases. I had you damaged something, a car or a window, and then you had you damaged a person, those two are different, and then we had a case of stealing. We were assuming, says the Lecha Mishnah, that there are really three cases, but there's two categories. Meaning there's hurting a person and hurting his money. If you hurt a person, you have to ask Mechila. If you hurt his money, then you don't have to ask Mechila. Says the Lecha Mishnah that there's a middle case. Stealing is not injuring a person, but it's a little worse than just causing financial damage to a person's property. You know why? Because how does a fellow, when you scrape somebody's car, when you break somebody's window, how do they feel? Well, they feel terrible. But what do they realize?
Your money, mistake.
It was a mistake. There's nothing personal there. If somebody gets stolen from, if you come back, a person comes back from vacation, they find that somebody was, they find their bedroom was in shambles and stuff thrown all over the place, all their drawers were gone through, a person feels violated. They feel vulnerable. It's a very different experience than just getting, even if nothing was taken, the fact that somebody violated your personal space, your property, whatever it is, there's a different sense of, there's an emotional component besides just the whatever may or may not have been stolen. So says Alecha Mishnah, maybe his words will be better than mine. Says Alecha Mishnah that there's a difference between if I just damage somebody, I scratch their car, I break their window, or if I steal from them. If I steal from them, says the Lecha Mishnah, that kind of financial damage, you do have to ask Mechila. Why? This is what the Lecha Mishnah says. The shiny gazlin, when you steal from somebody, the gazlin is nehene me'osa aveira. That's very interesting. Either way, the victim lost $1,000. Well, he could lose his $1,000 either because somebody scratched his car, or he could lose his $1,000 because somebody stole from him. What's the difference? The difference is, says the Lecha Mishnah, the perpetrator, in the case of the scratch, gets nothing out of it. The perpetrator who stole $1,000 is walking around with a brand new fill-in-the-blank, whatever it is that he stole. So what? So why do you have to ask Mechila? Either way, the perpetrator made the victim lose $1,000. What's the difference of if the perpetrator is walking around with his new fancy watch, whatever else he's walking around with that he stole? Lecha Mishnah is saying that there's something emotional that's different. That when I damaged your car, I scratched your car, or I broke your window, there's no personal affront. There's nothing between me and you. There's no beef between me and you. It's just something happened, okay, and I have to fix it financially. Mashiach, when I steal something, I stole from you. There was something personal, even though it's not you that I was targeting, it was your watch that I targeted, but by taking it, the person who steals it gets a hana, the Lecha Mishnah is saying. The fact that he's nene, furthermore, maybe it's the fact that when you're gozel, you're holding somebody up at gunpoint as opposed to gonev, where it's more surreptitiously. If you hold somebody up, there's a fear factor, there's the fact that a person feels attacked, again, vulnerable. So therefore, the Lecha Mishnah says that there's going to be a difference between the two categories of financial damage. If it's just damaging, then you don't have to ask Mechila. But if you steal, there's a personal affront there, and there you do have to ask Mechila. So that's the end of the shtickle. So therefore, we'll come back to three cases right now. So what were the three cases? If you damage someone with your car or break a window, you just have to pay for it. You don't have to ask Mechila. You're allowed to leave a secret admirer love note without writing your name on it. You can write an anonymous letter. I'm sorry I damaged your item. Here's money for it. You don't have to say who you are. On the other hand, if you hurt somebody physically, bodily injury, chovel, definitely you are chayv to ask mechila. And the case in the middle that we thought was a stira, but the Lecha Mishnah is saying that stealing is going to be more like the chovel b'chavero than just a monetary damage. Because it's something personal, something offensive, when you steal something, therefore you will have to ask mechila by stealing as well. Okay, that's what I wanted to talk as far as halakha is concerned. Just to finish with one incredible, incredible diuk, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, who puts these sources together, has an incredible diuk in the Rambam. And listen to these words of the Rambam that say something incredible. How does the Rambam say that you damage somebody? And how does the Rambam say that you stole from somebody? If you would ask me, I would say, how do you say you stole? Hagozla es chavero. How do you say you damaged? Mazik. Finish the sentence. Mazik es chavero. That's what I would think. But you know how the Rambam writes when he describes this halach that you have to repay? He says, Hagozla es chavero. Great, you stole from your friend. But when it talks about damage, he says, Hamazik, he doesn't say es chavero, Hamazik mamon chavero. When you damage wealth. When you steal from a person. It's an incredible diuk in the Rambam that Rabbi Yerucham Olshin says, he puts together everything that we just said, that gozel is not gozel mamon chavero. Gozel es chavero, you're stealing from your friend. There's a personal affront that's occurring. As opposed to when you damage, there's nothing personal there. It's just mazik, mamon chavero. Beautiful, beautiful diuk in the Rambam that really, in a nutshell, says everything that we just pointed out. I just want to bring this out a little bit more, b'derech hashkafa. The idea of asking mechila on Erev Yom Kippur, until now we were sort of talking about the fact that if we want to get kapara for, of course, every chet ben adam lachavero is also chet ben adam lamakom. And therefore, if I want to go to Hashem and say, please give me a good year and wipe off all my averis, yes, I could wipe off all my ben adam lamakoms, but if there is something outstanding between me and somebody else, so Hashem can't wipe it out. That's what the Rambam tells you. Hashem can't wipe it out. I have to take care of it between me and my friend, you and I. We have to work it out. And after we work it out, then Hashem, there's only the chelik ben adam lamakom left. Hashem, Yom Kippur, and Tshuva could fix that part. But there's something more. The idea of asking mechila this week is much more than just getting kapara and getting forgiveness and being able to have a clean slate to be zocha to a good year. There's something much more than that. In the nusach of the avoda that we're going to say on Musaf this next Tuesday, is it? There's a very interesting lashon. We describe Yom Kippur that Hashem gave us. It's a day of mechilas avon. It's a day. It's aser b'shtiya, aser b'chitza, b'sicha, aser b'tashmirit, aser b'sinasasal hasandal. It's a day. We say in Musaf, it's a day of simas ahava v'reyus. Yom azivas kina v'tacharus. There's something about the day of Yom Kippur between people that goes beyond just getting mechila from somebody else to wipe off the dirt from my Shmutzika Averis that I have to take care of. There's something more than that. There's the fact that the day, the Yom Kippur itself, is a day of Ava Reyes, a day without Kinavitacharus. And I think with that, Lashon of Tefillah is really echoing that which the Tur writes. The Tur says, when he talks about asking Mechila before Yom Kippur, the Tur writes that Erev Yom Kippur you have to be Mephayes, you have to ask forgiveness, anybody who you hurt during the year. He doesn't get into the details that we spoke of. And why is that? He doesn't say so you could get kapara. He doesn't say so you won't be held accountable for those averas bin adam lachaver. Look what he says. Osen Kane says the tour, kedei shehe leiv kol Yisrael shalem kol echrim chavero. Why is that important? Why is it important that our hearts should be together on Yom Kippur? So that I'll be judged favorably? So that I won't have the averas? No, absolutely not. V'lo yiyamakom l'satan l'katreg aleihem. When we are at shalom one with another, when there are no outstanding obligations between people, the satan doesn't have the ability to be mekatreg. So it's not just a matter I have averas, I have to clear off my averas because I want to be judged favorably. It's that if I have averas ben adam l'chavero, I have to take care of those for a totally different reason, because when there will be shalom between me and our fellow Jews, between one and another, between you and I, then the satan loses his ability to be mekatreg. Perhaps because Klal Yisrael, as a unit of a Klal Yisrael, the Satan has less power against an individual who holds himself or herself as an individual. There, the Satan might have more of a shlita. But against the Klal, to the extent that there are outstanding things between us that I owe you or you owe me or the things that I did wrong, so we separate ourselves. But when we're able to be mephayis one another, when he asks mechila, and we're able to take care of whatever is outstanding between one another, there, that unifies us to, as a block of a shtick of Klal Yisrael. And against the shtick of Klai, so the Satan loses his ability to be mekatreg. And where does the Torah get this? The Torah gets this, he quotes from Pirkei Rebbe Lazar, which is well known. And the Satan, as if it were, is having a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Samael, which is the same as the Satan, same as the Malach HaMava, same as the Yetzhara, same as the mekatreg. He turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Ribono Olam, I want to be mekatreg on Rosh Yom Kippur. This is what he's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be mekatreg. I want to wreak havoc on Klai. So, but what can I do? And he starts comparing us on Yom Kippur to Malachi Hashoreis. Ma Malachi Hashoreis, they're barefoot, so to Klai Yisrael are barefoot. Ma Malachi Hashoreis, they don't have a knee, so too we don't have any, meaning we stand with our feet together. And we stand all day, much of Yom Kippur. Ma Malachi Hashoreis, and Akim Kol Chet, so too Klai Yisrael and Akim Echet. Listen to what he says. Ma Malachi Hashoreis, Shalom Beinehem. Kach Yisrael b'yom ha-tipurim, shalom b'neihem. And therefore, says the Satan to HaKadosh Baruch, I can't do anything to Klal Yisrael because they are like malachim. And therefore, my shlita on them is, there's nothing that I could do to them. What makes us like the malachim is the fact that there's no kinnah, there's no tachros, there's no fighting, there's no arguing, there's no nothing outstanding that separates between you and I. Therefore, the malach hamavas, the Satan says to HaKadosh Baruch, there's nothing that I could do against them. And we, of course, will get a kapara. We should be zocha to prepare ourselves, not just bein adam l'makom, of course, which is essential for the next few days, but also this bein adam l'chavero, not just to clean off our averos, but be'ezus Hashem also to create that shalom, to create that unity among us, so that we together will be perceived by the Satan as a shtick of Klal Yisrael. He will be rendered powerless. We'll be zocha to all be zocha to a wonderful year of Shnas Chaim v'Shalom with all the brachas. Finally, one last point. Take it or leave it. You open up the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim when the Rambam speaks about Yomos HaMashiach. Yomos HaMashiach, the Rambam says, it's not a time that we're going to rule over the Gentiles of the world. It's not a time that we're going to eat great foods and have great parties. It's going to be a time that we're going to be able to sit and learn Torah, and nothing will take us away from that. And in that time, there won't be fighting. There won't be any kinna, there won't be any tacharos, there won't be any jealousy, there won't be any competition between one another. So I think the idea of bringing ourselves to the point that there's no kinna v'tacharos between ourselves for Yom HaKippurim is really preparing ourselves to be zocha, to be kabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkenu, b'mheira v'yameinu. Amen.